You're listening to SBS News.
It was the news that many Sri Lankans had been waiting for. The country's exiled president, Gotabaya Rajapaksa, had finally resigned. The streets of Colombo erupted in jubilant celebration, protesters breaking a citywide curfew that had been imposed a night earlier. Outside the presidential secretariat, they were claiming a victory in the months-long movement to overturn the government.
Gotabaya has gone home. This is a pure Sri Lankan revolution. It's history what you are witnessing in here.
He's the number one president in Sri Lanka that people have chased away. That's the power of people.
We all have gathered with one target, trying to get rid of the family, the Rajapaksa family. So we are so happy today. We have conquered. We have got the victory as one nation. And yeah, this is such an unforgettable, memorable day for Sri Lankans.
Mr. Rajapaksa had flagged his intention to resign after protesters stormed his official residence on Saturday. But then he fled the country by military jet on Wednesday without stepping down. So anticipation was building about what was next for the crisis-stricken country. By nightfall Thursday, finally some relief as the promised resignation arrived by email. Activist Demita Abaratne says the whole country is celebrating.
Actually, this Rajapaksa corrupted family, we never thought we will get this country free from them. That much we were struggling, and they were hitting us, they were hitting from the tear gas, they were shooting us. There are so many people who are in the hospitals, people were dying. Still, people never give up this peace process.
The ousted president, meanwhile, had arrived in Singapore, where he'd flown after leaving the Maldives. Reuters is reporting that Rajapaksa, dressed in black, flew business class with his wife and two bodyguards. He was also spotted shopping for clothes at Changi Airport before leaving the VIP area in a convoy of black vehicles. Singapore's foreign ministry has confirmed his arrival, but says it's only temporary before he leaves to seek asylum in Saudi Arabia. Back home, the Speaker of the Parliament, Mahinda Yapa Abawadina, announced in a news conference on Friday that he'd accepted Mr. Rajapaksa's resignation.
The resignation letter sent by President Gotabaya Rajapaksa has been received by me. Accordingly, the President has legally vacated the post with effect from the 14th of July 2022.
And he called for order while a new leader is chosen.
I request the honourable and loving citizens of this country to create a peaceful atmosphere in order to implement the proper parliamentary democratic process and enable all members of parliament to participate in the meetings and function freely and conscientiously.
The Sri Lankan parliament will reconvene on Saturday, with the vote for a new president scheduled for the 20th of July. For now, Rajapaksa's hand-picked successor, Prime Minister Ranil Wickremesinghe, will act as the country's interim president. But this is unlikely to satisfy the Sri Lankan people, for whom Wickremesinghe is just as much a part of the same corrupt administration that's driven the country's fortunes into the ground. Protest leader Kulum Amaratunga says they cannot accept Wickremesinghe as president.
We have no problem with who the next elected president is, but if it is going to be Ranil Wickremesinghe who is elected, we would love to know who in Parliament votes for a man whose party got only 225,000 votes and yet he is going to control 22 million people. We will have to question if Parliament is a place where the views of the people are taken into consideration. It means that members do not understand the demand of the people for change and that the people are suffering.
Once a new president is confirmed, they'll face a tough road ahead, steering a bankrupt country back on track. The central bank governor is warning that the country may shut down if no stable government is formed soon. The IMF is hopeful that bailout talks can resume soon, but Sri Lanka has yet to prove its debts are sustainable. The Americans are calling out China for offering unsustainable loans. US Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has told a meeting of G20 finance officials in Bali that China should do more to help debt-distressed countries like Sri Lanka.
China is, of course, a very important creditor of Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka is clearly unable to repay that debt, and it's my hope that China will be willing to work with Sri Lanka to restructure the debt.
Demonstrators, meanwhile, have vacated the government buildings they had seized, honouring their promise to do so once Rajapaksa resigned. But the protest movement may not be satisfied until it can bring forward a general election. On the streets, life remains as hard as ever, with shortages of fuel, food and medicine. Analyst Ganeshan Wignaraja says Sri Lanka will need considerable humanitarian help in the next 6 months.
People on the street may be very frustrated. So Sri Lanka needs bridging finance in the interim to have humanitarian assistance to finance food, fuel and other essential imports. And India has been a very important first responder by providing $3 to $4 billion of aid. And we hope that the international community will also step in, including the US, to help Sri Lanka get through this very difficult next 6 months.
Claire Slattery, SBS News.